You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Guys, today is a monumental show. It's September 10th. I want to give my production producer friend a shout out, Jeff Bowler. Shout out to Wonder Film. Happy birthday. I'm hoping you're enjoying your day and not listening or responding to any of my messages, but I hope you're having a beautiful birthday. Love you, friend. Thank you. Congratulations on your projects with the Jack LaLanne Project. Congratulations with everything that you've been doing. You're my inspiration, and one day I could grow up and be like you. So I want to send out the special birthday shout out to Jeff Bowler at Wonder Film. He's got some great things coming on. You guys, if you haven't checked it out, go to YouTube and type in Jack LaLanne trailer. He just also is doing something with Marky Mark. And so, you know, he's just the GOAT. So I want to give him a lot of love and a shout out. Also, today we have my last show here in this studio. This is my home studio here in Laguna Beach. I'm actually moving, same area, but, you know, I'll find out tomorrow where I'm going in the area. But if I don't land where I want to land, I'll be taking a 2 or 3 week sabbatical and just finishing the endemic film, South Africa, you know, doing the digital nomad thing for a couple weeks. And then you'll see me back in a new home studio. So you're just kind of see me in transition. It's a scary and fun time. Last weekend, I was in Orlando visiting a friend and then also shot up to visit with a client in D.C. So I spent my Labor Day in D.C. Guys, I got to tell you, D.C. was so hot. Like, the temperature was hot, but everybody was out having a good time. So shout out to D.C. Shout out to Orlando. I had a good time there, too. The mosquitoes got me, but you would never believe where they did get me because I'm susceptible to mosquitoes. They love me. They didn't get me in Florida. They got me in D.C., which is kind of odd. But anyway, thanks to everyone that made that trip possible. And, you know, Saving Jada is a project that I am still working on many years later. This project is for a young lady that is, you know, going in and out of the system. She's got mental health issues. She's got a lot of different things, displacement, and we are just going to shine some light on that. And I'm excited to be able to bring to you guys a promo video coming very soon so you can understand a little bit more about what we're doing with Saving and Raising Jada. So stand by for that. But today and right now, we are international right now. We've got Omar Hernandez from Mexico. Omar, hola. How are you? Welcome to LA Talk. We gotta unmute you, Omar, because you're giving a lot of energy. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hola, hola.
Hola, hola. You're welcome, Omar. So great. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the listeners and viewers exactly who you are and what you do?
Okay. Thanks. Well, I'm Omar Hernandez. I'm 23 years old. I do 3D stuff. I do 3D characters and stuff like that. I am a graphic designer, and that's pretty much it. I'm specialized in 3D.
Great. So you kind of, like you said, you visualize in 3D. I think that's really amazing in this time. You guys, offline, Omar has sent me some samples of what he can do, and I'm very inspired by your ambition. You've reached out. You've been consistent, and you are confident. Whenever you're reaching out to someone and you're soliciting them, you know, we'll get to take a page out of your book, Omar. What drives you as an entrepreneur? How did you get started? And what gives you the confidence to reach out and really be confident in your brand?
Okay, thank you so much for the words. Well, I really have the vision that art and, you know, the creative way of thinking gave us sometimes the inspiration, the motivation, to keep doing the things that we love in our daily lives, right? In our daily lives. So I am really passion drive about, you know, the new technologies, the new devices that are coming, and I know that the smartphones that we have today are kind of the second house for us, because there we have our photos, our videos, you know, we are connected through the people that we love through our phone, right? So I realized when I was something like 15 that the new generations will be in touch with these new technologies, right? So I wanted to stay ahead of the game at the time. So in this moment, I'm working to make 3D services more accessible for everyone, because I know that big brands have those services, but they are too expensive, and some artists would love to have those services, and at the end of the day, could not afford it, right? So my main vision is to provide creative and software and, you know, pretty much services like that, and make it accessible to everyone. So yeah, that's it.
Beautiful. Perfecto. So now for our Spanish speaking and understanding guests, because we are international today, because Omar's streaming live from Mexico, Mexico. Omar, uno más, por favor, en español.
Okay, bueno, pues me llamo Omar Hernández, tengo 23 años, y pues el tema con el diseño gráfico y las nuevas tecnologías son inminentes, están viniendo cada día más rápido. En 2 días es la presentación de Apple, is the new Apple presentation in 2 days, so tenemos que estar preparados para esas nuevas tecnologías y saber cómo entrar a este juego. Okay, thanks, that's it.
Ah, muchas gracias, and that was perfecto and very very speedy.
Yeah,
so, all right, very good. So guys, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like for you, Omar, you knew who you were very young. You had a vision for yourself. A lot of entrepreneurs, right, struggle with that. Like, I'm 45, and I finally know what I want to be when I grow up, right? Like, in the last couple of years, the pandemic caused me to slow down. Even though I was traveling for my pandemic films, I still, on those planes and in those hotels and by myself, slowed down a little mentally to think, what's happening? What's next? So for you, as a young entrepreneur, because 23, that's a young age, right? 23 is a very young age. So tell us, for those people, those listeners and viewers, those entrepreneurs that are looking to get into it, how did you know who you were that young? What do you recall signaling to yourself that this was the path for you? If you could offer that for the viewers and listeners.
Yeah, for sure. So it all becomes with my parents and my grandparents. My grandfather is an engineer. He used to build houses and stuff like that. So he introduced me at a very young age to software like AutoCAD and stuff like that. And he really took the time to explain me some things, right? And he was my teacher. And I fell in love with what he was doing. And then my mom, she was a fashion designer. Oh. And when I was, I remember, like 8 or 9 years, she used to have some Beverly business in the town, and people come there and stuff like that. So I tried to make those things, you know, make a mix out of it.
Yeah.
And see what, you know, the artistic side by my mom and the engineering, I don't know how to call it, but the technical side of it, if we can call it like that. So yeah, it was really something that I knew when I was very young. So yeah, it was really
you felt it, right? You felt it. You knew. Yeah, and it kind of makes sense, Omar, that you would do that. You know, your mom, and I saw from the designs you sent me offline, what a beautiful way. Like, it seems like it's translated for you. So it sounds like you're saying to pay attention to what your parents are doing and find out if there's any inspiration there, and then kind of find your own path. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. But
yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah. Okay, good. Uno más en español?
Sí, pues bueno, todo viene de mi abuelo que pues cuando era pequeño me enseñó parte de lo que había estudiado, que era la construcción, y pues parte de mi madre y de mi abuela, que era el tema de la compostura, todo el tema de la ropa. Entonces mi abuela tenía una mercería y de ahí viene todo este interés. Lo que busco ahora es adaptarme a estas nuevas generaciones. So yeah, basically I said that I'm trying to adapt those knowledge that I have of my of the past generation to this new generation. So that's pretty much it.
To
But
keep
yeah, you
the
feel it. You feel it when you're young. I feel like everyone feels something when we are growing up, when we're kids, we fall in love with something. It could be cooking, it could be drawing, it could be singing. And I think that at those ages, we really find what we want to do in life. So,
Absolutely. And it sounds like you had a mentor in your family that you connected with. So that's beautiful. So guys, if you're watching, if you're not quite sure what you're going to do, look around, see what your family's doing. If there's anything you can draw, it sounds like Omar drew from his mother and then your father and grandpa. Like it sounds like there was a beautiful mix of influence there. All right. We're in September now. We're getting close. I can't believe it's September already, Omar, but we're getting close to Halloween. We're getting close to Thanksgiving, and then of course Feliz Navidad and Christmas. So, where can people hire you if they want to get ahead of their business, product, right? So, what are you specializing in today, and who can follow you, and how can they order from you?
So yeah, I think the easiest way to reach me will be through LinkedIn. You can find me there, linkedin.com/Omar Abascal. And yeah, you can find me there. We can be ahead of the game in the sense that there are a lot of new electronic devices. You're seeing it right now more in on our daily lives, that more people and more companies are opting to introduce digital dashboards instead of the classic dashboards in a car, right? So, in those areas, we can provide a user experience and a 3D presentation for it. We called make those interfaces workable and yeah, pretty much those things.
Yes.
So, yeah.
You've really blown my mind, Omar. At 20, I'm trying to remember when I was 23, right? Like, oh my God, it was so long ago. So, I'm like I said, let's see, I'm doing the math. Okay, so it was a while ago, but I'm very inspired by you. What do you want the world to know about Mexico, Mexican commerce? Let's debunk this whatever, right? Guys, you guys don't know, but I have my little Dedos de Muertos,
Yeah,
right there. A lot of people,
Katrina. We
Katrina,
say Katrina.
Katrina, right?
Katrina, yeah.
Some people that know me know that I have Mexican family in my family. Like I have a niece that's half Mexican. So I'm very much in touch with that culture already before that happened. But I see so much talent. I see a lot of talent there. I see a lot of talent in many places in the world. But Mexico is, I think, one of those places where people have this one perception. And there's so many beautiful people, entrepreneurs and such. So what do you want people to know about Mexico, startups and owners like yourself, and how they can trust to hire you? Let's clear the record.
Thanks. Well, I know that in the past, the Mexican heritage has some bad perception, but we really work to be friendly through our neighbors, through the people that trust us with our work. I mean, I'm really, I don't know if I can talk for everybody in my country,
Right.
but I
It's
will
not
say,
your job to fix it. Of course not. But
but
through your lens,
yeah,
Yeah.
for the people that I hang out with, we really want to, get the best of Mexico to all the people that help us. We really, I don't know if I can say that we're really humbled by the trust that the people for other countries gave us, but we really try to respond it. We really try to, be collaborative with, because at the end of the day, There are no borders. We can really work together in many different ways, in many different areas, in many different industries. And you can see that language is not a barrier. It's all in our heart, in our minds, right?
That's right. Beautiful. Yeah. And you're so wise beyond your years. I want people to understand that Mexico does business with everyone else around the world. For some reason, America has this thing. And you'll see travel. That's the beautiful gift of travel, right? You travel, you talk to people, and you see, oh, wow, the news has totally said some stuff that might be true, but a lot of it is not true. And you have to learn that when you travel and you shake hands. I want to show you something I bought in Cabo last month. And the story behind this, everybody, my first time in Cabo, by the way, I've been to Oaxaca, I've been to Mexico City, I've been to Tijuana, I've been to Cancun many times, but never Los Cabos. I got this bag. I can't get enough compliments on it. It's so perfect and beautiful. And the lady was proud. She's like, my family made this. She was a female owner and I was loving it. We were willing and dealing, but I didn't will and deal her down. I gave her, you know, what she deserved with dignity, sure. But I just was grateful to see that. And every day I wear this, I get so many compliments. So
I gotta say that it is a really nice bag.
Isn't that a nice bag? Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, you know, let's open our minds here, everybody. If we learned anything from COVID is we're all the same. We all bleed red and we want to make a difference. And I want to implore everyone here that's listening and watching, Omar Hernandez, get into it. He's 23, you guys. Let's support this young man in his endeavors to push through. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it goes. Omar, I think you're going to have to do a couple sample pieces for the startup. I think we're going to have to hire you to do that. So coming very soon.
You know, I look forward to it. And yeah, for sure. We can really do amazing things. And yeah, I think as Americans and, you know, Latin Americans, we are really proud of where we come from. And that's really it, because to be here, it's really something that it's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to have the opportunity to work with people that has the kind of the same mindset and patience that you have, and those patience lead to the next, you know, new, I don't know, innovation that society will help. And, you know, I got a lot of things to say, but I don't gotta take too much time, but thank you so much.
No, muchas gracias. Una más en español, to recap.
Okay, yeah, sure. Ok, bueno, pues creo que es muy importante que colaboremos entre naciones, entre países, que no nos dejemos engañar por todo lo malo que se ve en las noticias, que confiemos en los negocios, que confiemos en la buena fe de la gente. Y claro, siempre con cuidado, pero siempre entendiendo las situaciones. Gracias.
Wow, you did that quick. I love it. I'm impressed. All right, well, listen, Omar, stay awesome. Stay inspired. There are people here in America that love you. There's people all over the world that love what you're doing. And please do not be deterred by any of the negative press, because that doesn't represent a lot of us. That represents some people that don't travel. If you travel, you understand. And keep being who you are. Keep pressing forward. I can't wait to collaborate with you. I think you're going to come up with something effing amazing. And you're going to be back on LA Talk Radio very soon to show what you've done. You see, I wore my trucker hat, Omar.
Yeah.
I want the startup like this with the little, you see?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking to Omar about getting some swag here on LA Talk Radio. Muchas gracias, Omar. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right, guys, that was Omar Hernandez from Mexico. That was one of our first bilingual interviews, which I'm excited about. Next up, we have Christine. Christine Marie, how's it going, beautiful?
Good. It's good to see you. I wish I had cool sunglasses on right now. I'm like,
your face is gorgeous. You don't need them. You aren't crying from a deal that's falling apart. You know, I had to cover my face, but I'm here with you now, so there's no tears.
No tears. And we have to have some deals fall apart for the good ones to land, so.
Amen. I received that. I need that. Thank you so much.
I got you. Yeah.
All right. I'm loving your background and your aesthetic. why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners and viewers that do not know who you are?
Wonderful. My name is Christine Marie. It's funny. Someone described me the other day as an entrepreneur. And I was like, man, we're all so much more than just one type of person. I would say I'm an entrepreneur. I have a business. Yes. But that's, you know, a piece of me. I'm also a sister and a daughter and a friend. And I really care about bringing life and light to other people. And in addition to having my business, it's a branding and marketing business, started it in 2019. I am wrapping up a book. I'm planning to start a podcast in the next couple months. I was actually in my first feature film in January. So what? When it comes to introducing myself, I'm like, there's so many ways to describe who I am. But at the end of the day,
run it down, Christine, run it down.
Cool. At the end of the day, I'm like, you know, I want people to experience emotional health because that is the thing that has transformed my life. And me understanding who I am has ultimately been the conduit that welcomes these opportunities in. Because when I'm vertically aligned with who I would need to be.
Say it again for the cheap seats in the back and for me.
When I am aligned with who I was made to be, when I'm vertically aligned, not informed and finding my identity in who everyone else says that I am, I ultimately end up attracting the opportunities that bring me life and that then I can bring life to. So it has been such a journey, and the emotional health piece is where I just get fired up. You know, I love all these other things, and writing and acting is so fun, and running a business is so fun, but it really is the emotional health because that is the catalyst for ultimately living the life that you want to live and be the person that you want to be.
You guys, listen, we told you we weren't going to have church today, but Christine Marie came in with church. Okay, not church, it's church. All right, church. Okay, I love that you offered that beautiful piece, right? Because a lot of people, like, listen, the world has shifted. It is not something you can fight. It is not something you can blow away in the wind. Since the pandemic, and maybe even before, quite frankly, but since the pandemic, the universe has gathered our attention and things have shifted. I love that you're beautiful on the outside, but you're very much flexing your beauty on the inside and sharing the spiritual shift. How can people tap into what you're saying and also connect with you on a business sense and hire you for your services? How can you do that?
So ultimately, the catalyst for my journey was brokenness. And I don't think everyone needs to be broken to understand who they are. But I do think that it requires such intentionality to look at both the light and darkness within us, because I think everyone has a little bit of that and everything in between. And so it requires a lot of bravery to face yourself. But it was only after I looked in the mirror for the first time and woke up that I could really then grow and really change and become who I want to be. And so the way that this relates on the business front is that our goal is to position brands and organizations to walk and live and operate authentically, but they have to know themselves. And so we have a knowing process. That's actually the name of my business, the Knowing Agency. So we position brands to know themselves, but then we also, from this place of knowing, can we not only be known, but then we can also know others. So we position brands to know themselves and walk authentically, but then we also position them to know their audience and meet them with empathy, because people want to do business with people. They want to get behind a mission. They want to care about beyond just the product offering or service. They want to care about the mission. And so the more you lead with your values, the more you actually lead with your heart and on an emotional level, the more it connects with the person that you're trying to serve and support with your service offerings. So we teach businesses how to know themselves, how to know their audience, and then we execute the marketing that will kind of bridge the gap so that both parties can get to know each other. And then in terms of connecting with me on social media, connecting with me, you can go to christinemarie.com. You can also just go to christinemarie_ on Instagram, and that's where I hang out.
So I think it's really brave of you to dare to ask people to tell their truth, right? Because that means you're telling your truth, which you already started off in this segment saying that that's how you got here. If you were listening, that's what Christine said. But a lot of people don't like the truth.
And now you're the preacher.
And that's why I don't have a lot of friends. I got enough friends and not too many more, because I constantly tell the effed up truth to myself and then to you. And I'm loving that you aren't afraid to go there. Mm. How's that been for you? How's that journey been for you?
Well, okay, I'll get personal. So what ultimately, I said that my journey of knowing self was catalyzed through brokenness. I got married when I was 20. I don't recommend it because I was a baby. But after 8 years, my husband left and it totally broke me. But it was in looking in the mirror and seeing I had been existing as a non-person in my marriage. I was so focused on trying to make him happy and trying to make the marriage work. And I was so focused on everybody else. Again, horizontally aligned. Mm. I wasn't operating based off of, well, okay, well, who am I? What are my values? What do I care about? What do I want? What do I love? All these basic questions when you're so focused externally. Now, here's the difference, because there's so much talk today about self-love. I actually hated that concept because I'm like, well, actually, I'm seeing more and more people use that concept of self-love as an excuse for selfishness and an excuse to abdicate responsibility. And I am not a fan of that.
And for narcissism, quite frankly. It's an out for that. For abuse, quite frankly.
And sorry. I'm with you on that. No, we'll talk offline about that.
Yeah, we will.
But yeah, it's really, I was afraid to kind of go down the journey of knowing self because I didn't want to end up being what I was terrified of becoming, which was selfish, prideful, full of self, and had no, because I cared about connection so much. But the problem was that I had prioritized connection almost like over self. And so it's like, okay, well, like, let's bring the balances and bring the scales back, because what I learned is that only when I'm actually filling my own cup can I then give from my overflow. And actually, Lisa Nicholson said this. I was at an event with Amazon. My team was running the communications and our partner was running the production for them. I got to be a fly on the wall at their event. And Lisa Nicholson said, give from your overflow. And she poured, she had this analogy. It was a big glass bowl and she had a cup over the bowl and she was pouring liquid into the glass. Well, I got my Starbucks and I'll switch to wine later. She said, you know, she was pouring in and she said it was about a halfway full. She said, most people give when their cup is halfway full. Then she continued to pour. And then she said, most people give when their cup is full. And then she continued pouring and it started spilling into the base below. And then she held up the cup and she said, this cup is for you.
Yes.
The overflow was for everybody else. And
I actually
just like started crying because I had been living my life completely the opposite. And it just struck me on such a deep, deep level. Wow. Imagine if I lived from a full cup for me and then gave to everybody else from the overflow. The goal
is
to live.
Yes. That's it.
And it's transformed the way I do business, the way I live my life. It's transformed the way I the energy that I bring. I have so much more capacity for love.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing.
I was just going to say, so knowing self, it's actually the most selfless thing you can do.
I love that you learned the self-full example from Lisa. She's awesome. I heard that from Mama Ianla. And what's in the cup is for me. What comes out is for you. So that right there is validation to what we've been doing. You're so on point. Where can people book you and do a discovery call if they can connect with your story and maybe align themselves with a husband or partner or brand or just completely getting lost? Because I'm guilty of it, not necessarily with a husband, but I'm guilty of workaholism.
Yes.
Aligning myself with paying attention to everything else. It's the same difference. You're doing it with one person. I'm doing it with many on a brand scale, right? So it's the same difference. We're just using different paths to express that energy, right?
Yes.
So where can people connect with you? Are you taking discovery calls? Are you taking new clients on? What does that look like for you?
We have a few open slots. So we do, in terms of the Knowing Agency, basically, what will come in is we'll just come in and do a deep dive into your brand. We'll analyze everything. So watch out. I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was like, the only way that it really works for us to come in and really do a deep analysis of how the business is truly doing. And then so we do an analysis and then we build them a strategy. But the only way that it works is if the other person is humble. They have to be able to hear the truth, to your point.
Oh, listen, divorce your truth and divorce your story and marry your truth, right?
Ooh. Dang. Yeah. It's true.
You know what? I could probably count how many real friends you have on one and a half hands because it's so hard, right? Because you're going to the next level. It's hard for them, not for us, because we already told the truth. You can't break my heart. I already told myself that truth. I already know what it is. I already know this monster.
Oh my gosh. Everything
you can't tell me nothing I don't know, right? I mean, you can, but not anything I haven't told myself.
Okay, wait. I want to read you this quote. I was in D.C. the other day. This is by Harry Truman.
Okay.
I never did give anybody hell. I just told the truth and they thought it was hell.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh.
No, that's your candy. That's your candy for me.
If you're not brave enough to see what is, then someone else who's serving as a mirror, you're going to hate them.
Oh, right. Kill the messenger. Kill the messenger.
Exactly. Exactly. So all that to say on the business side.
Speak the messengers.
We're going to come in and be the messenger, and they got to be humble enough to take it. So it's, you know, that's kind of the dance there. But if they're humble, so much amazing opportunity comes from that. And so either they can hire us to serve as fractional CMO and chief of marketing officer and implement the strategy with their team, or we give them the strategy, we give them the analysis and say, hey, go be free and multiply. The other way that we serve companies is that we kind of flush out their brand, we build it stronger, make them differentiated, and then we'll build a website for them. So those are our big two service offerings.
So for the listeners in the back, Christine can be for startups and she can also be for C-suite. And what a C-suite, for people that don't know, is CFO, just all your chiefs of anything, anybody, your top four or eight or 10, whoever is at the top running financials, the owner, the founder, you know, all your CFO and fill in the blanks, right? So it sounds like you have a brand structure to facilitate help and assistance to the C-suite and for the startup.
Exactly.
Sector, which is smart.
Yeah.
Because you're meeting them where it grows, where the plant is, where the seed is, and you're meeting them where it is, right?
Yes. Yes. And Monique, if I was to say one thing to your audience who are startup individuals, business owners, fresh out of the can, I would say really get to know yourself, because you are the biggest differentiator between your competitors. You yourself, you have a proprietary brand that no one else has because you have a unique soul. So the more you get to know your soul and the more you lead with that, the more you're going to stand out, the more you're going to attract. And so that's the biggest takeaway I would leave your listeners, is that the more time you take to understand you and know your soul and then lead with that, you're going to attract your tribe and you're going to attract the ideal target audience.
Calling all brave entrepreneurs, because it takes, and I, you know what, when we first started this, to your point, Christine, I'm about to validate what you just said, even though you don't need my validation because you're already winning, but for the listeners and viewers to validate what Christine is saying, when I first started this, I had to look at myself, and I still look at myself. I am the harshest on myself on purpose, because when you bring it to me or someone else brings it to me, that conversation has already been had. So when you bring it to me, I go, okay, I've heard this now twice. I've heard this now three times.
That's so good.
Let me fix it, right? Yeah. Whether it's good or bad, or I believe in it, it's happening in someone's experience and it's affecting my brand. Let me nip it in the butt. But you have to be definitely honest with yourself so it stings a little less when you hear it again.
Yes. So
get in the mud with yourself.
Yeah.
Hurt your own self. Break your own heart. So that when it comes again, you're like, okay, that was validation that this needs to be fixed.
That is so good, Monique. That's gospel truth right there, lady.
Right?
That's so good. Break your own heart. Ugh, it's so painful.
But in a good way.
Yes.
In a good
way. Yes. Well, because it leads to so much growth. And frankly, y'all, I got to tell you, the only way for new life to occur, the only way for transformation to take place is for death to happen first. You have to be willing to go into the cocoon and die for the emergence of the butterfly. And it's like Phoenix rising from the ashes. Well, they were in the ashes. You've got to be willing to go to that place in order for this new life and the potential to come forth.
It's good. And that means, guys, that, like, you might not be as great as you think. Sorry yeah. to break your heart. Like, your ego has to shut the F up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because what we're talking about, if we're getting into it, if we're keeping it real, let's do yeah. it. Let's just go there. We're talking about all that negative self-talk, all that thing, all the things that you're hearing, all the things that your family told you, your parents told you, your ex told you, what you thought you believed, all that negative self. Divorce your story and marry your truth. Like, all that story that's running in your head that you think about yourself probably ain't the truth. Like, yeah. how you're showing up for your clients is the truth about you. It's a mirror. And you have to tell the truth to yourself first. So when they tell it to you, it stings less and you're ready to fix it. And that's so beautiful because you have the control on that. And yeah. it comes from the top. Christine's business is only going to be as good as Christine's business based on Christine. Because she's at the top and it filters down, right?
I'm so glad you said that. I was going to mention that, Monique, and I'm so glad you did. You nailed it. Oh, that's good. Exactly right. So, yeah, I mean, especially if you're in the midst of building out your team, if you're clear, and not only clear, but you embody your values, you're going to get like-minded people to come and serve you. And the loyalty that's going to be there is going to be huge. And I was reading a book today, 10X is Better Than 2X or something. I think that's the title by Dan Sullivan. It's so good. It's talking about how to essentially 10X your business. And you know, it's talking about, okay, well, really, why are your customers paying top dollar for your services? And again, the more differentiated you are because of your brand, you might have a similar product as someone else or a similar service or similar offering. Yeah. You're the differentiator so long as you walk boldly and bravely. And that means you're going to have to turn people away. So you have to make that decision because not everyone's going to be a good fit for you.
Oh my God. Listen, I could talk to Christine all day. We got like 13 more minutes. Are you available?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Can we your calendar? Can we have you for 15 more minutes?
I am yours.
I effing love you. Can you go deeper into that? Because there's so many skincare, right? Like, I washed my face today, and I used, should I plug them? I used something from Sephora. I won't plug this brand, but I used something, and I could have used, I'm packing my place, I'm moving. I could have used four or five other cleansing brands, but I used them. Why? To your point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you're asking, that's not a rhetorical question.
No, but we're talking about it coming from the top and how it
exactly.
Purposes.
Yeah. And so it's really, I mean, it's interesting when you think about, obviously there's differences in terms of industries, but I mean, the more entrepreneurs and more business owners that I have met who are willing to make critical business decisions based off of their values. I'll give you guys an example. So Southwest, back in 2008, 2009, they had to make a decision about whether they were going to charge for bags. All the other airlines were doing it. And they looked at their values and they said, we want people to feel like they're having a fun-loving experience. That's value number one. Value number two is we want people to feel like they're getting a good deal. If we charge for bags, they're not going to feel that way. Either one of those. And so they said, we're not going to charge for bags. Y'all, they stood to lose $500 million in 1 year. And they said no. And effectively, they actually attracted so many more people who were aligned with their brand.
Give me a break. I'm trying to bang. Give me a break, lady. I want to buy a sandwich. They gave me a break. I just want to buy a sandwich.
Just want to buy a sandwich. Yeah. Is that a crime? Apparently, with all these other airlines.
I don't want to pay for my bag. Right.
It was a great example. Mm-hmm. And then to the fun loving point, and actually I love using Southwest as an analogy. It was where I used to work. They would use Southwest as an analogy, and it was perfect depiction of a strong brand because at every single touch point of the customer journey, the person has no idea that they have a problem. And then they start becoming aware that there is a problem and they're looking at you and your competitors. And then they become a customer. And then they become, hopefully, if you do a good job, they'll become an evangelist for you. So that's the customer journey. And so what you want is you want every single interaction along the way of the customer journey to be consistent with your brand values, with your brand voice, with the brand experience.
And say that part again. Say that part again, please.
Yeah, you want your brand values, your brand messaging, your brand experience to be consistent at every single touch point of the customer journey. So that's when they get on your website, when they engage with your social media content, when they receive an ad on their device, when they engage with you at the ticket at the ticket desk, and when they are hearing the captain speak, when they hear, you know, every single point, because the thing is that the more consistent you are, the more you're establishing these touch points and making these memories, people need to emotionally feel connected to your brand. And it takes now not only 5 to 7 touch points for someone to convert, it today takes 500 touch points. That it takes 5 to 7 touch points to for conversion. That's a business study that was done in like the 70s.
Get so out! I was born in the 70s. What the hell?
I know. It has changed. Everything has, the consumer has radically, radically changed. Wow. So it takes up to 500 touch points for a conversion to occur. Now, granted, there's, you know, I'm sure it varies per industry, but that's the reality of the matter. You have so much competition you're going up against, and the only thing that's going to make you different is your values, your mission, your message, and the way someone emotionally feels about it.
Mm. Listen, guys, this is Christine Marie bringing the heat, bringing chutch, bringing all the tea on a Sunday here. You know, I'm a heathen, so this isn't really you know, we got, you know, we curse here, we drink
wine. We got to have a little bit of curse.
We had to have a civilized person come in here and clean this mess up. Christine came and cleaned this mess up. Christine, I love what you said. I think that, honestly, when you said the emotional thing, it's funny that you mentioned it. As I fly a lot, and I'm sure you do too, and you listen to viewers, if you're a startup and you're hustling, you got to go get that next thing. I get it. I'm always in my bags, right, at the airport. But when you said it's an emotional journey in each touch point, and I'm paraphrasing because you'll have to go back and listen to what Christine just said. But I love what you said, Christine, because when I go on certain airline websites, I get a certain feeling.
Yes.
So when I go to JetBlue, I know what product I'm going to get on JetBlue. And today I'm in the mood for JetBlue. When I go to Southwest, I know I don't have to hustle for the bags.
Yeah.
I'm going there. I'm on a dime. I don't have an extra $100 to give you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to know my bag will get there in one piece. Yep. And I'm not getting nickel and dime. Right. When I go on Spirit, I know it's a different situation. I'm on a budget. I just want to get there in one piece. Maybe. Yep. And...
Isn't that the truth?
I love you, Spirit. I'm just kidding. Spirit, you've got me there before. But every plane, you know, every experience is different, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I love that you said that because there is an emotional connection. And your customers, your clients, your people. I had a client recently. We had to part ways because it got a little interesting. But I didn't set the boundary. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when people see you and they get motivated by you, and inspired by you, there's a blurred line of like, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm super humble. I'm not tooting my own horn. But perhaps there was a line of like,
but it's
I want to, you know, I want to be like that, or I want to go there. And when you put a boundary of like, okay, girl, we're doing this business. We're not really doing all that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to break anyone's heart. And you start it from the top. And you need to have healthy business boundaries. Mm. But you don't show up in the way that they think in their head that you should show up outside of the business contract.
Yes.
You are a failure. You're an asshole. You're the worst. You're not great. And it's like, I haven't deleted their anything because I know they're going to win. You're going to win without me because I have business boundaries.
Mm.
But I'm still rooting for you. So the point of that is, and getting back to what Christine said is, you know, this it starts from the top and how you set the tone. And I have to do that better as well. Because, you know, you love people. And I'm meeting people when they don't have a lot of money and they get attached to you and you're trying to help them.
Mm.
But setting tone is so good. All right.
Yes.
We have a couple more minutes. Yeah.
That's so good. And I love, frankly, this is all coming full circle with the mention of boundaries. Because again, having boundaries is not an excuse for selfishness. The boundaries are actually to ensure that you give from your overflow and that you better serve and that you better meet their expectation and fulfill on that emotional experience that they're expecting to have. So if people aren't having the wrong expectations and they're crossing boundaries, well, did we as entrepreneurs actually do a good enough job setting them? Did we actually set the expectation? Again, it's holding up the mirror. If we don't like something someone else is doing, well, let's look in the mirror and see ourselves. How did we contribute to the situation? It is always to tango. Someone, Ryan Steumann, he said this the other day. I was at a mastermind and then I heard him speak, and he essentially gave his definition of personal responsibility, which is it's really rough, but I'll give it and I'll see what people think. He says, you're sitting at a light, you're being patient, it's red. Someone comes up and hits you from behind. Whose fault is it? Everyone says, well, it's the person who hit you. And he's like, yeah, but you were at the light. It is.
That hits different.
I know. It is like the highest level of personal responsibility you can ever have. The fact you exist as a human, there's responsibility. I mean, it's tough, right? And there's debate on it. I know, you know, take that home and talk about it with your team or your partner or whatnot. But the call to action is this. If something in your life is not working, if there is something in your life you do not like, what can you do to change it? To remove the victim mindset and take control for your life, put yourself in the power seat, not your parents' voice, not the voice of shame from your teacher or your mom or your dad. It's putting yourself in the driver's seat, and you have to know yourself in order to do that. So when boundaries are crossed, when expectations are not met, when people are disappointed, how can you sit in your own experience, watching, almost like observing it objectively, withholding judgment, and just being curious. Being curious about their experience, being curious about your experience, and then seeing what you can do different. But you have to be able to sit in your own experience and the other person. It's the empathy and the authenticity. Knowing yourself and knowing your audience. Knowing whether it's a business, you know, failed expectation or a personal failed expectation. You have to be able to sit in both positions, and it takes a high amount of emotional intelligence. The definition of emotional intelligence is two parts. It's one, having the ability to understand, know, and express one's feelings. And then the second part is the ability to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously, which is with wisdom, and then with empathy. So Amen. It's really both. It's really hard to have both.
You tied that in so beautifully. I mean, way well done. TED Talk, call this woman. I had to do that today. And I used emotional intelligence in an email in this deal that's, quite frankly, it might be falling apart. But I have a feeling we're going to save it because I'm being emotionally intelligent, I think. But, you know, you can always check yourself. Have room to check yourself. You're not perfect, everybody. The ego's at the door. I don't care about my ego because my work speaks for my product, right? My delivery speaks for me.
That's so good.
So who gives a damn about an ego? You are awesome. I feel like you should have a whole show. You have to come back, Christine.
I would love that. And I'm hoping actually to start a podcast in the next 3 months. So
you're gonna. Why don't you come to LA Talk Radio with us? Sam, can we get Christine a slot? What do you think, Sam? Let's look in the chat and see if Sam says yes. He's gonna say yes. You're gorgeous and smart. Hello. He's a Taurus. You're gorgeous and smart. You're probably gonna get on the show. Right, Sam?
I love it. She says, Christine, please stand by.
What's your sign, Christine?
I am a Leo.
I love it. I think I have either Leo rising or moon, but I'm not sure. But happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I just turned 30.
What?
No.
Girl, you're about to slay it down. I'm so excited. I would love to see you here in Beverly Hills with us.
I would love that.
In January for the Emmys gifting suite. Let's put up a table for you. I'll email you after the show.
Okay, I would love that. Oh, Monique, I got to tell you, I fangirled over you.
What?
This. So I'm very excited to have talked with you, and not only just have talked, but to have experienced so much synergy. So I'm very excited. Cool.
I'm loving you. I'm fangirling also. You're a true Leo, and I love it. And my little Leo rising in here loves you. All right, plug one more time where they can find you, and then we got to go.
ChristineMarie.com, ChristineMarie, Marie, MARIE.com.
Mwah. Come back, Christine. Mwah.
I will.
What will you start up today? See you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.